Drink too much, or...
I think the theme that really caught my attention was the plight of the farm workers. Mm-hmm. And that really bothered me, that the Chicanos, the Mexicanos, were living in the squalor. I mean, it still bothers me.
Yeah.
That our people are living in the kinds of conditions that they're living in, that they get paid the miserable amounts of money that they get paid, that the children are out in the fields picking whatever they have to pick, and, you know, in the line of fire of pesticides, and you know, just all the crap. You know, I never did it, fortunately, but I remember living in the projects, that a lot of the people, I guess, that they had come from rural areas and were now living in the projects, living in the cities, but still in the summertime they'd pack up and hasta la vista, you know, they'd go pick and then come back. Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, because I know that a lot of farm worker kids have a lot of gumption. You know, they really know where they want to go. And I think maybe I was just a little bit too pampered. Too many things were handed to me on a silver platter. But, you know, I never had to deal with that. But it hurt. It hurt to see the kids. It hurt to see the pictures. It hurt to hear about it. And so I became really involved. I would go, on my own, I would go into Vaughn's. And I would put grapes in bags, or Safeway, actually, it was Safeway. Grapes in bags, and then go shopping for a lot of canned goods and stick them on top of the grapes. And then leave the basket in the middle of the market
sabotage.
And leave, sabotage all the grapes. And then, you know, we were always picketing a Safeway somewhere. And so I was always on a picket line somewhere, you know. The farm workers would come and we'd sell buttons, or we'd do whatever we had to do to help them, you know, run papers off, collate, do whatever. I was always one of the grunt workers, but I always pulled my load as far as doing that.
That's what matters.
So, but, you know, I wasn't really a leader. I think as close to being a leader as I got was branching out into the women's movement. And then just getting disillusioned, totally disillusioned with everything. Mm-hmm. Life in general, take me away, God. Calgon, take me away. But we went.
Do you remember the teatro?
Remember that, well, yeah, the teatro. The teatro was getting together.
Mm-hmm.
The teatro and the baile folclórico were coming up at the same time, mm-hmm. So all my energies were involved with the baile folclórico. And we would tour together.
Mm-hmm. But there was no teatro before this, right?
Okay. Was it about 1970, 1971? Yeah. So most of, and during, after the first year, the thing that kept me busy was the folklorico. Just all the logistics and classes and practices and making sure that the guys came, because it's hard to do the harabeta pateo without a man.
By yourself. What were we gonna say before?
Okay, oh, somewhere, and I don't remember. It had to be 1969. Late. There was a march across the state. We joined the march in Norwalk,
mm-hmm.
And we marched up to Delano. And spent a couple of days partying up in Delano with the farm workers. 1969. Had to be 1969, 1970. A lot of that stuff kind of blurs together.
70-ish.
Yeah, because it started in San Diego, and then
it took a while
to come. Maybe it was 1969, 1970 when they got to us, and they marched all the way up the state, and mm-hmm. we did that. That was really eye-opening too, because when we got there, when we got to Delano, and
where did people stay? You just marched
in the fields. We're in the farm workers area. You know, there was this big, I guess in headquarters for Cesar Chavez and company for the UFW.
No, but on the way, where did you stay when you were walking? You just pinch the tin on the side of the road?
Yeah, we just, or in trucks or in the cars, or, you know, where, because we had cars that were with us,
mm-hmm.
and we had trucks and vans that were going alongside of us, and we stayed there.
But you walked most of the way?
But we walked most of the way.
That's long way.
Long ass haul. Getting there. Seeing in actual, with your own eyes, where people live, mm-hmm. kinds of work that people did. It's really. I mean, it fortified me to continue to do what I was doing because I knew it was right. You know, and it's sad and sad to see that we haven't really gone that far. Mm-hmm. And then.
Or like goes and then it comes back.
And goes and it comes back, but nobody really.
Hasn't been resolved.
Hasn't been resolved, but at the same time, you know, the power remained in the same hands and, you know.
Dissipated, maybe?
Well, you know, there's a lot of problems with Cesar Chavez and in his own group and organization. And, you know, you leave power and you have to have constant revolution.
Jesus Christ. No.
You have to have change in order for things to keep moving, you know, and I think what happened is that we got stuck, you know, and Caesar, for as good as he is and for all the good that he's done, I think has stagnated. And I think if you leave any organization in the same mode, it stagnates and it doesn't grow and no new ideas come into it, you know, and if you stop and you start believing your own press, then, you know, that's when things kind of deteriorate. And when you get paranoid about what, when you have trouble identifying who your real friends and allies are, mm-hmm. and you get paranoid about everybody, then things really start going downhill. And I think a lot of that happened within the movement itself and with,
it's hard. I mean, some of it's like it's the war wounds, and then some of it's just the new change, you know?
You know, and then when you do something, when you accomplish something and you think, hey, I'm king of the hill, and then somebody else comes to tell you that, well, you know, how about this, and let's start changing some of this, you think, well, no, you know,
I've got mine,
you know, and I think a lot of people got into, I think that just kind of took over people, and then there was no movement anymore, you know, and I don't know, I have not, I know that there was a resurgence of the Chicano movement a couple of years ago on campuses. I don't know where they are now, and I really don't know what they did.
Mm-hmm. In the meanwhile,
yeah. And I have a friend who is active in the movement, and her kids call her a hypocrite. Hmm. Because she says, how can you say that you were active in the movement when you don't practice it anymore, or you don't, and apparently this child went to school and became active in the movement on her own right, and then turns around and questions her mother by saying, you know, you're a hypocrite and you never really did that stuff. You have to be lying because of the way you live now. Mm. You know, and I think a lot of my generation said the same things to our parents. And I remember hearing, you know, oh, and then my mom and my dad said, well, broke down and said, you know, mija, a lot of us, change has been, we have tried to make change in every generation, she says, but it doesn't work. And I think, you know, my mom was recalling in the 40s during the Zoot Suit riots and little people who got together and tried to make some change then. And then, of course, you know, you go into that, it's a cyclical thing. Mm-hmm. We get disillusioned, and so then we stop, and we leave it up to the next generation whether they want to or not.
But they always do something.
But somebody always comes up with it. I think, though, that in this, during the past 10, 12 years, when everybody was so Reaganized, mm-hmm. and greed was in, I think we lost a lot of momentum that we could have had. You know, a lot of kids, you see them all around in a little MBAs and all the little yuppie lawyers who got to college, did their thing, got out, made money, and really didn't believe in anything. And then there's that whole little generation in there that did that. from an old-timer's point of view.
I mean,
you know, and I think this generation coming through now, because the economic times are so bad.
Exactly. Well, it's swinging back.
Now. It's swinging back, yeah.
It's just, I mean, you feel like you're still treading, though, because it goes back and forth, back and forth. I mean, you kind of think you're taking two steps forward and only one back, but who knows, you know.
I think we're, and the society, I mean, you know, just look at the Democratic Party and look at, how many Chicanos did you see on stage?
None.
You know, they said there were two. But
oh, God, I missed it, maybe. I didn't see it.
But I didn't see him. I mean, we have elected officials. We have members of Congress that are so-called Chicanos. And where are they? Where were they? You know, what kind of... They don't have any pull. Mm-hmm. You know, and people overlook us. You look at the CSU system. I mean, how many Chicano presidents do we have? One.
Mm-hmm.
We have another Hispanic, a Cuban president. But that, you know, he doesn't, and even though the man is a very nice man and he may be very capable, he's not Chicano, he's not Mexican-American, he's not Californian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't fit our
needs.
Our needs, exactly. It's not, I don't know, I think we, look at the riots. The Mayatas are getting everything.
Mm-hmm.
And where do we fit in? I mean, mm-hmm. most of the people that live in South Central Los Angeles are Hispanic. Either new immigrants or Mexican-Americans, people who have bought their own homes. A lot of Central and South Americans living there. What do we get? Diddly squat. We get told to get off a work project by a black. Where are all our leaders? Where are all the elected officials now? Even Gloria Molina, you know, had nothing to say about it. It's so... It's, it gets disappointing, you know, and all of a sudden it's those people, not us. It makes me stop and think, like, where? For all the fighting that we did and for all the first trying to revolutionize by demanding things and rioting and walking out and sitting in and doing all the blatant outrageous things that we did to saying, okay, well, didn't work this way. Let's blend into the woodwork and see if we can affect some change from within.
Sometimes you blend in and you just become the woodwork.
And then you just become the woodwork. It's true, you know. And I think it happened to a lot of people. It's amazing, of where we are and what we're doing. And a lot of us keep chipping away, and sometimes yes, and sometimes no. More often than not, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make our little comments when it's appropriate, but I don't think that makes them change.
But it just seems that, you know, okay, so maybe you can't call it a movement now, but maybe it's a network. People are around.
No, I know, we didn't disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and we're all doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so difficult. It's just, we all... It's a rough...
It's this and then trying to live a life, I think.
You know, then your priorities change, you have a family, or you become a property owner, and then your whole
that.
Focus changes.
Well, I think we should stop.
It's 3:12.